1972.
Not that I'm that old, but it was 1972.
The Sheikh has produced many audio tapes on essential issues for the Muslims. He was involved with the Al-Bashia magazine and is currently a writer of answers, questions and answers for the Al-Jumu'ah magazine. He is a respected Dai in the United States of America, and he answers many questions of fiqh and hadith in the USA. The Sheikh has also translated many books for Maktaba Dar Us-Salam, such as Islamic Fatwas for Women. This is a well-needed book on essential issues, and also he has translated the Muslim Creed. I believe he has also written a book called The Friday Prayer in three volumes. The Sheikh should be an example and give encouragement to all of us in the sense of his knowledge. His knowledge was obtained in the USA, not from studying in an Islamic institution, which many believe is the only way. The topic the Sheikh is going to speak about today is the qualities of a believer, character of a Muslim. He will speak for about 1 hour, inshallah, after which there should be 15 minutes allocated approximately for questions and answers, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, I would request sincerely that you make your questions on paper that will be passed around to you during the lecture. It's much preferable this way, and this way I can select the questions and answers and fairly balance the way they are answered, inshallah. Okay, brother, I now hand you over to Sheikh Jamal Zarabazor. JazakAllah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Inshallah, in today's lecture, I want to discuss one of the most important aspects of Islam, and in fact, one of the most important aspects of Iman. However, for whatever reason, sometimes it is something that we neglect, something that we fail to put into practice in the way that we are supposed to. And this is the topic of having the proper Islamic character and behavior. When Abu Dharr and Mu'adh ibn Jabal were going to Yemen, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave them some words of advice, some farewell or departing words of advice. The first of them was اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتُ, and to have taqwa or fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you may be, or under whatever circumstances you may be. And then the Prophet told them to follow up an evil deed with a good deed, for it shall erase it or remove it. And then the Prophet told them to behave with the people, وَخَالَقَ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقٍ حَسِنٍ, with a good behavior. And this was, as I said, his advice to these teachers that he was sending to Yemen to bring the people Islam, to show them what Islam is, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Realize that you will make mistakes, but you follow up those mistakes with good deeds. And in your behavior towards the people, you should behave in a good fashion. Now this concept in the Arabic language, which is discussed as al-khuluq, it comes from the same, or it is related to the same word which describes creation itself, al-khalq. And because of this, some people believe that a person's khuluq or a person's behavior is something ingrained in him. And this is how he was, this is what he was born with, or this was how he was brought up. And so therefore it is as if the person cannot change his behavior. And this is the way he is and this is the way he shall remain. So from the beginning we have to realize that this understanding is not correct. This understanding is not correct whatsoever. And if this understanding were correct, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not oblige us to have a good character. If we're all born with a specific character, I mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not oblige us to be black or Caucasian or Pakistani or Arab, whatever. Because these things are beyond our control. We have nothing to do about them. But with respect to our behavior and our actions, these are things that we can control. We can become or make ourselves accustomed to behaving in specific ways until that action and that kind of behavior becomes natural for us and it flows from us easily. And inshallah, in this lecture, I will try to give us some points of how we can develop our behavior and our actions to be the correct behavior, inshallah. However, one thing that we note about this hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned at-taqwa, and then the Prophet ﷺ later mentioned having good behavior. Commenting on this hadith, Ibn Rajab, and in noting that some people may understand from this that taqwa is one thing and having good behavior is something else. So Ibn Rajab, he said that having good character is a characteristic of taqwa. And taqwa cannot be complete without it. And it was mentioned here by itself. Yani it was mentioned, even though it is a part of taqwa, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned it separately in order to emphasize it and to explicitly point out the importance of it. Because, and paraphrasing what he said, when it comes to taqwa, many people think that taqwa means fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they think that taqwa is praying and fasting and so forth. However, this is just one part of taqwa. This is not all that there is to taqwa. Taqwa also includes behaving in the proper way with respect to your brothers and sisters in Islam. In fact, taqwa includes behaving in a proper way towards all human beings. In fact, taqwa even includes behaving in the proper way towards animals. All of this is part of taqwa. But the Prophet ﷺ mentioned it separately here to give it some emphasis. In the same way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always talks about, mentions الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who believe and do good deeds. The doing of good deeds is part of iman. But to emphasize it and stress its importance, it is mentioned separately. So in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ told Mu'adh and Abu Dharr two characteristics that will lead them to Jannah actually. Because in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ was one time asked, what is the behavior, or what is it that most leads the people to Jannah? That most leads the people to entering into Jannah? And the Prophet ﷺ said, Taqwallah wa husnul khuluq. Taqwallah, and the taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and God consciousness, and good behavior, husnul khuluq. And in fact, if we look in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and we look in the Quran, we see that the Quran and the hadith stress on numerous occasions the proper behavior between Muslims, between mankind. In fact, this is part, as some of the ulama have pointed out, this is part of the shahada. And a necessary or a consequence of the proper shahada is the proper behavior, is the behavior that corresponds to one's belief in la ilaha illallah. And it is inconceivable that someone would say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah and really believe in it and really understand it, and then his behavior does not demonstrate that belief and that understanding. This means, in fact, he is not applying what he is testifying to. He has a shortcoming in his application. And in fact, even the Prophet ﷺ has told us that one of the main reasons that he was sent was to complete or to fulfill the proper behavior. And to show the correct and proper behavior among mankind. That was one of the main purposes for which the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sent. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said that he is a guarantor, or he guarantees a house in the highest part of Jannah, in the highest part of Paradise, for the one of good behavior, of good manners. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. The believers that have the most perfect and complete iman are those that have the best behavior, the best character. So this shows us right away how closely related iman is to proper behavior. It is a sign, the best, the better a person's behavior and actions, this is a sign that his iman is more complete and perfect. Iman is not simply just rattling off some principles and saying Tawheed is divided into three categories and you must believe in this and you must believe in that and so forth. That is not the iman. That is part of the overall picture. But the iman also includes believing that and putting that into practice, and when that is put into practice, the person will have the best behavior. So that is why the believer with the most complete iman is the one with the best behavior. Another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ also told us, مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَثْقَلُ فِي الْمِزَانِ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ. There is nothing heavier in the scales on the Day of Judgment. There's nothing heavier on the scale than good behavior, than good manners, than good conduct, good character. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we look also to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quran and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers, one of the main ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers is by their actions. For example, how they fulfill their promises, how they keep their trust. And one of the main ways that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the hypocrites is by their actions. That when he speaks, he lies. When he gives a promise, he breaks his promise and so forth. And all of these actions or all of these aspects, they fall under the category of proper khuluq or proper behavior. And what is proper behavior? What is good khuluq? And to understand that, to find out what is the source for how we behave, we turn to the Quran wa Sunnah. We do not take our values from any non-Islamic system or philosophy or anything like that. We take our values from the Quran wa Sunnah. If the Quran and Sunnah praises some characteristic, like haya, modesty, then we know that that is a good characteristic, regardless of what any other system might say about it. So we must turn to the Quran, we must turn to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to understand what our behavior should be like. And the Quran and the Sunnah discuss many different aspects of behavior. We should turn to them and we should learn from them how we are to behave in our lives. And the best example for us, the best example for us of how to live by the Quran and how to have the behavior that the Quran asks of us is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Aisha described him, kana khulquhu al-Quran. And his behavior, his actions was that of the Quran. So this once again emphasizes the importance of turning to the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and turning to his sunnah to learn what is this good behavior that all of us are supposed to have. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Birru Husnul Khuluq. Al-Birr has two meanings, has two possible meanings. One is the behavior, yani how to behave towards other human beings, and the other is righteousness as a whole. So here the Prophet ﷺ is telling us that righteousness, and according to this interpretation, the second interpretation, righteousness is itself husnul khuluq, good behavior, proper behavior. And some of the commentators on this hadith, they said what this means is that part of righteousness is good behavior. But that doesn't seem to be the best interpretation. Because when a statement of this nature is made, like when the Prophet ﷺ told us that Hajj al-Hajj Arafah, that Hajj is Arafah, the staying at Arafah. When a statement of this nature is made, what it means is that the most important and the most essential aspect of this thing is as explained. In other words, the most essential aspect and the most important act in Hajj is Arafah. And simply the most essential and the most important aspect of al-birr, of righteousness, is good conduct and good behavior and good character. Al-birr, husnul khuluq. Righteousness itself, the main and most important aspect of it, is good and proper behavior. Now, of course, we have to understand what is khuluq and what do we mean by khuluq. Because there is a very unfortunate misunderstanding of this concept. There's a misunderstanding of how all-inclusive this concept is. Because sometimes you will find, for example, a person doesn't pray, and a Muslim, I won't go into the discussion of whether someone who doesn't pray is a Muslim or not. That would take a few hours. So let's assume, okay, a Muslim, someone doesn't pray is a Muslim, or doesn't fast, or whatever. Sometimes you'll find, for example, someone else describing that person, say, oh, he doesn't pray, but he has very good character, very good behavior. And you can hear this a lot. And this one doesn't pray, he doesn't fast, he doesn't come to the mosque, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. Oh, but he has very good character. And this is because we misunderstand the Islamic concept of al-khuluq. Because al-khuluq, good behavior, good conduct, is not just good conduct with respect to other human beings. But good conduct is first and foremost with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How come you behave well towards other human beings and you do not behave well towards your Creator? The one who has given you all of these bounties and has guided you and has shown you the truth for you to follow it if you want. You behave well towards other human beings, but you do not behave well towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this someone of good character? If you see, for example, a son who is nice to his friends, but he's terrible to his parents, do you say, oh, this is a person of good character? Usually not. Maybe some of you, I don't know. This is England, not the States. Of course, the States maybe, well, let's not get into that. And this is usually, and this is unacceptable. You would not call that person one of good character. But if one behaves well towards human beings, but does not behave well towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we say, oh, he has good character. And this is because we don't understand, or we don't take into consideration the all-inclusive nature of khuluq from the Islamic perspective. When we say that al-birru husnul khuluq, and that righteousness is good behavior, you think it just means good behavior towards others and not towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you think a person will get a house in the highest part of Jannah just because he behaves well towards others while he doesn't behave well towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And husnul khuluq, good behavior, proper behavior, has three, or can be divided into three categories. Proper behavior towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, proper behavior towards other human beings, and proper behavior towards one's own self. I guess the second category, to say better, proper behavior towards other creatures, other parts of creation, all of creation, even the environment, you can include in there. With respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the proper behavior, and this also would include proper behavior towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this would be included in the second category. But there's, and in some cases, like your parents, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they might have special rights upon you, but in general, they would fit in the second category of proper behavior towards others of the creation. With respect to proper behavior towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first aspect of it is to believe sincerely and completely in whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. This is part of one's proper behavior towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared something, has said something in the Quran, you believe in it completely without any doubt whatsoever. That is part of your proper behavior towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, you must accept what Allah has commanded or prohibited and fulfill those commands or prohibitions in your life. This is how you should behave towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how your khuluq should be with respect to your Creator. And if you don't have those aspects, then that means that you do not have the proper khuluq towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do not have the good, the proper behavior towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may claim as much as you want that you are a good person with good behavior and so forth, but if you do not have the proper behavior towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are having proper behavior towards others, but not with respect to the most important one that you must have proper behavior towards. Included in this also is to have patience and acceptance of whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. And this also, you can find, for example, sometimes that one human being is wronged by another human being. The one does something wrong to him. The second one, if he's of good behavior, so to speak, then he might forgive the other person, even though he has wronged him. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have decreed something for the person that he doesn't like of this dunya. He hasn't wronged him in any way. And because if you imagine all the sins that he has committed, I'm sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not wronged him in any way. And yet, he's very upset with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for him. If another human does something like that, he might forgive him and let it go. But if it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he becomes very upset with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for him. And this is again, once again, this is improper behavior, improper khuluq towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there is the proper khuluq towards others of this creation. And this is the aspect that most people stress when talking about good khuluq. But as I said, it is not the first and most important aspect. It is very important. It is an essential aspect of good khuluq. And that we must behave towards one another in the proper manner. We should be kind with one another. We should respect one another's feelings. We should try to fulfill each other's needs and wants. When we see each other, we should greet each other. We should have a smiling face. We should give the greetings of peace to one another. We should refrain ourselves from harming our brothers in any way. This is all part of husn al-khuluq. And especially in this day and age, when there is so much confusion among Muslims and so much division, and that we have to remember this aspect. Because even with respect to your enemy, even with respect to your enemy, you have to behave in the proper way. Even if you have a hatred towards someone, even if it is a hatred for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that doesn't give you the right to wrong that person or to lie to that person and so forth in ways that are not sanctioned by the Sharia. So if this is true even with your greatest enemy for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what about with respect to your brother? And as I said, this is something that we must revive, the proper behavior towards one another. We should not go around backbiting one another. We should not go around spreading stories about one another, spreading lies about one another. We should confirm everything that we hear and not spread these things. And a brother came up to me just the other day. I know his uncle and I know his two brothers. I know his family. He just came to the United States and he came up to me and he said, "Oh, I heard that you're from Pakistan and you speak 16 languages. I said, "Okay." But this is not something, of course, insulting or anything of that nature. But still, we should confirm. I can't tell you the number of stories people tell about me. Most of them are complimentary, but they're just, I don't know where they came up with them. Again, we should make sure that if we're going to say anything about our brother, we should make sure, first of all, it is good, and it is true, it is proper and correct. And when we behave in this way towards one another, inshallah, this is part of the aspect of ourselves coming together as Muslims, and our hearts being brought together. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا سَيِّئَةُ ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the good deed and the evil deed are not equal. Then the meaning of the verse, repel the evil with a deed that is better. And even if someone does something wrong to you, it is part of good behavior, proper behavior as taught to us by the Quran. that if someone does something wrong to you, your response should be something better. And then if you do that, the result will be that between the one, yani that before there was enmity and hatred between them, if you behave that way towards him, then he will become as if he were your close friend. He will become your close friend because of your behavior towards him. If he has any moral sense whatsoever, if he has any iman whatsoever, and every time he's doing you wrong and you treat him in a better way, after a while he will say, why am I wronging this person? Why am I harming this person? Let me instead do good to him like he's been doing to me. And this is the guidance from the Qur'an. This is the guidance that we have to behave. I mean, this is the guidance that we have to implement in our lives. Well, we also have to have proper behavior towards our own nafs, our own soul, our own self. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this for us. But it is a kind of trust. We don't have the right to do whatever we want to do to ourselves. So we must have the proper behavior towards our own self. We must do those things that will keep us away from harm, both in this life and in the hereafter. Of course, most importantly, in the hereafter. We must do those things that will keep us away from harm. Physically, even in this life, and spiritually. And one of the most important aspects, inshallah, that can help us in this is by striving and sacrificing in order to get knowledge, the proper knowledge. And then striving and sacrifice to implement that knowledge. This is how we should behave towards our own selves. If we are not doing this, we are wronging our own selves. We are maybe being nice to others, and then we're forgetting about our own nafs. And you find that also among those people who don't pray and fast, but they say that they have good character. They are many times often the same people who do not study the deen, learn the deen, and apply the deen properly. So they are wronging their own selves. And this is not their right. They don't have the right to do that. As I mentioned earlier, yani khuluq is not just something that you're born with, but instead what happens is sometimes some people are born yani, instinctively or by nature, they have good characteristics, proper characteristics. And if this is the case with you, then you should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He created you and gave you those good characteristics. And you should continue to use those characteristics or behave in that fashion for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you find yourself that you don't have those good characteristics, then it is possible for you to change your characteristics. And one hadith, for example, anger. Anger is one thing that many, many people use as an excuse. And if they get angry, and then they do things, and then they say things that are improper, and that can really cause a lot of damage among the community, among the brothers and sisters. And their excuse for it, oh, you know, I got angry. And I get angry, you know, quickly. And this is just my way. Okay, change your way. And if you know how bad it is and how harmful it is, then change your way. And don't use that as an excuse. The Prophet ﷺ gave that as an advice to a person. And don't get angry. He asked him for advice. He said, don't get angry. Let taghdab. Yani don't get angry. I know of people that before they became Muslim, they used to get angry at the slightest thing. Like when they're playing basketball, and when his brother does something to him. And before I became Muslim, I used to have the worst temper in the world, especially when it came to sports. But after I became Muslim, and when you read all of these things about how you're supposed to behave and how, and you should not get angry and you must control yourself, that's one aspect. Yani, everything started to change after that. So there are many ways, or there are aspects by which we can change our behavior, inshallah, to the proper and correct behavior. And we cannot use this as an excuse that, oh, this is just the way I am. Please forgive me, this is just the way I am. No. Yes, we may forgive you, but you have to realize that you have to change if you don't have the right character. And the steps that you can use, inshallah, to change is, first of all, you should study the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ to realize how important it is to have the right behavior, to have the right conduct. And if you read about salat, you realize how important salat is, so you pray. When you read about jihad and you realize how important jihad is, so you go out and make jihad. So you read all of these verses and all of these hadith about proper behavior, then you should change your behavior according to what these verses and these hadith are telling you. It's just like the other aspects. And when you study the Quran and the hadith, this will make you realize how important this area is. And how pleasing it is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you to have the proper behavior. When you realize how pleasing it is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this should drive you to sacrifice and work as hard as you can to get this characteristic. So first aspect, inshallah, you should try to study the Quran and hadith and realize that stress on good character and do your best, inshallah, to change accordingly. And secondly, also, you should be in the company of those people of good character. It's not surprising if someone hangs out with people of bad character that he picks up some of their traits. It is not surprising at all. But when you are in the company of people of good character, they will be setting an example for you. You will see between the two of them, for example, the same thing could happen between two people. If they are of good character, they may just laugh it off and, you know, say, okay, I'm sorry, and forgive one another, and have no hard feelings towards them. And if it happens between people of bad character, the first thing they'll say is, come on, let's step outside. I don't know if you have that expression in England or not, but... So, I mean, if you're around that all the time, you know, let's step out. So the first time you get in a fight, what are you going to do? I mean, the first time you get in an argument, what are you going to do? You're going to have the same behavior. Because that's what you've seen, that's what you've shown. You even think that's normal behavior. But if you're around those people of good behavior, then you learn from their example. And this is now normal behavior for you. This is now how people should behave. And there's many hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that show us the importance of being around good people. And we should choose, especially for our close friends, we should choose those people of good character. And in fact, last time I was here at this conference 2 years ago, I got into saying that being an example and having an influence on others, and it should not be just with respect to, for example, teaching and so forth. But we also need those examples that will guide us when it comes to proper behavior. And I mentioned that my Sheikh of Khuluq, Brother Abu Batil, is living in Loughborough. He's here again this year. So if you want to know, if you want me to point him out to you, he's probably leaving right now as I say this. You can just watch him and how he behaves and get some example from his behavior. Or you can ask anyone from Loughborough about him. Finally also, I guess not finally, and you also, a person should realize what are the negative consequences of having bad character. Think about the negative consequences of having bad character. This should also help you, inshallah, change. Think about what it does for your personal relationship with others. Between a husband and a wife, even. between parents and children even, between brothers. When you have bad character, bad behavior, think about the negative results that usually come about. When you lie to someone, when you cheat someone, when you get angry at someone, and all of these things, think about what are the results of it. If you are an intelligent human being, inshallah, when he realizes the negative results of something that he's doing, inshallah, he will stop it. But if you are a believer, especially, you claim to be a believer, then obviously you will do that. And the negative results, obviously, of course, they are not just with respect to this world. But you should think about what are the negative results of your bad character in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what will happen to you in the hereafter because of your bad character. And inshallah, if you do these three things, these three steps, and studying the Quran and Sunnah to realize the importance of proper behavior and being around the good people and concentrating and thinking about the negative results, inshallah, these three will help you change your ways. And of course, it is all also directly related to taqwa and iman. If you truly increase your iman, if you study the religion correctly, that should lead you to increase your iman. And as you increase your iman, you will find your character changing. I can assure you that as you increase your iman, you will find your character improving and changing. Because the Prophet ﷺ had told us that the one with the most complete iman is the one with the best character. And we should always keep in mind the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. He was the excellent example for us, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing that he has an khuluq al-azim, he has a great character, great behavior. And we should go back to his sunnah and read about his life and how he behaved and how he treated others. And we should take that as an example and try our best to follow it, inshallah. And finally, before I end, let me just, as a word of advice, and we should all go to the Quran and Sunnah, and we should see what are some of the kind of behaviors and actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has encouraged us, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us to do, and let us compare it to our lives. And let us see whether or not, in fact, we are really people of good character. And if we find that we are missing in some of those aspects, whether it is with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or with respect to others of creation, or with respect to our own nafs, and judge ourselves, inshallah, and see, and then inshallah, do our best to correct ourselves, and to have that proper character, which is righteousness in itself, and which will lead us, inshallah, to Jannah. On that point, inshallah, I will end the lecture and open the floor for questions or comments.
The other brother is not Islamically correct. For example, he does not have a beard. Is this wrong, and why?
It is true that we should be displeased with any kind of munkar. But our first reaction to munkar, any kind of evil, our first reaction to any kind of evil should be, how can we change it? How can we put an end to it? As the Prophet ﷺ told us that if we see any munkar, we should change it with our hands, and if we are not able to, then with our tongues, and if we're not able to, then with our heart. So we should ask ourselves, when we see munkar, how can we change it? In order to do that, especially, I'm not sure exactly, you know, what kind of circumstance the brother is referring to in this question, but especially when we see it for the first time from someone that we don't know, We don't know whether or not, in fact, that brother even realizes that what he's doing is something which is a munkar. So therefore, and to be harsh from the outset, from the beginning with respect to that person, this is not the correct way usually. This is not the proper way. This was not the way of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you can take the example of the Bedouin who was urinating in the mosque, and how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam behaved, and how the rest of the Sahaba behaved, and he pointed out, and he made it clear that their behavior was a little bit, somewhat hasty. However, if it is a case where you know that the person knows what he's doing is wrong, and this we also have examples for this in the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you know that the person knows that what he's doing is wrong, then any harshness or being anger or showing your anger towards what he's doing may be the proper approach or the best approach. And to show your displeasure, and for example, suppose you know someone who drinks alcohol, let's say. And if you never show your displeasure towards that and never show how angry you are with him for that deed, then in essence you are kind of showing your approval or your acceptance of it. And you are showing to him that you accept it and there's no problem with that and he's still your best friend whether he drinks or not. This is wrong. And this is not good character either. Some people think, this is a point I forgot to mention in the khutbah, in the whatever, in the lecture. And if some people think that part of being a good person, a nice person, is that you kind of accept everybody no matter what they do. Like, for example, Muntasir interrupting me here now.
A Toyota Corolla light blue C108 LHD is blocking the work for the municipality. Whatever. It's blocking and it's going to be towed away. Or it has to be pushed back or something. If you have that car, Toyota Corolla light blue C108 LHD on Manor Road, you're blocking council work. And if I may request brothers and sisters not to take pictures, inshallah, anymore.
As I was saying, and if some people think that good character or being nice is that you accept people no matter what they do. I'm sure you've all met that kind of person. A person, doesn't pray, doesn't fast, sometimes even commit shirk, and they're always so nice to them, pleasant, and invite them, and become good friends with them, and best friends with them, and never say anything about the wrong that they're doing. And they think that they're having good character and being real friends to that person. Well, as the expression says, at least in the States, with friends like that, who needs enemies? And in reality, because this person who is doing these wrong things is taking himself, that person could be taking himself directly to the hellfire. And you think you're his friend by just sitting there and letting him do and think and believe and behave in any way that he wants without ever showing him any sign that this is wrong, this is not proper, this is unacceptable. This is good character. You see someone jumping into the hellfire and you just sit back and watch. Oh, this is good character. Why don't you just push him and help him? If it's such good character. Now, this is not good character at all. And this is not brotherhood at all. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the believers are from one another, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ. And one of the first characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions of those believers is that they order good and they eradicate evil. Because that is part of what it means to be a true brother. That when your brother or sister is doing something that's taking him to the hellfire, you do your best to stop them. Even if it risks your friendship at that time. Because what good is your friendship if you are helping them or just sitting quietly while they're taking themselves to the hellfire? So this is not good character at all. So in other words, good character sometimes means standing in front of your brother and telling him either politely if that's what it demands or even harshly that what he's doing is wrong and it is unacceptable. And that is good character. That is good character towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards those others and towards yourself. Because if you do not order good and eradicate evil, then you are also setting yourself up for punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question here says, can you backbite the non-Muslims? When you say something that the non-Muslim may dislike you saying behind his back, this is not of the same level of saying something distasteful or disliking behind your brother's back. The hadith all stress, and the Quran stresses that it is in relation to your brother. Because, your brother is your brother in Islam, and so therefore he would expect from you, he has some rights upon you, and one of those rights upon you is that you will defend him if his honor is being attacked, and you will not say anything that he does not like behind his back. That's part of the rights of brotherhood. So the punishment, or the the harm of doing that with respect to your brother in Islam is very great. The harm of doing that with respect to non-Muslims is not of the same degree. But this doesn't mean that we should go around saying things that are bad about non-Muslims unless there's a need to do so.
Do you think that one of the things that holding back the spreading of dawah in the West is our bad behavior towards others?
Yes. Next question.
What is the action that...
I think that question is obvious, right?
Alhamdulillah.
And I think all of you have experienced that. Yes, this is... If we're always fighting, first of all, if we're always fighting among ourselves and not behaving properly towards ourselves, we're spending so much time just mending up these things that we don't even have time sometimes to make dawah towards others. But obviously, as is usually the case, when you talk about Islam and you present, what Islam is all about, and then people see what is being put into practice, many times they are turned off immediately.
Can you criticize your elders for what you think is bad, discouraged behavior, where culturally you are not supposed to correct them?
Let me just try to guess what kind of culture this person is from. Let's see, now I'm in England, I'm in Leicester, I'm at an English speaking conference. I can't guess. Culture never takes precedence over the Sharia. Never. So, the Sharia tells us to respect our elders, and especially our parents. However, this does not mean that we remain silent when they are doing something haram or something of that nature. But we should do our best to try to correct them in the best possible manner, according to the steps, the proper steps. And we should never criticize them if there's no benefit in doing so, or there's no need to do so. But obviously, whether a person is your elder or not, and if there's a need for criticism, if there's a Sharia need for criticism, then you have to criticize.
How do you treat neighbors who present you with halal food but earn from haram sources? Do we eat such food?
Oh, okay. How do you treat neighbors who present you with halal food but earn from haram sources? Shall we eat such food? Oh, this is a Muslim neighbor or a non-Muslim neighbor? You wrote this question? He's making tafsir birai here. For those of you in the class, in the muntada, he didn't write the question, but he automatically said non-Muslim. Well, if it is from a Muslim neighbor and most of his income comes from haram sources, then many ulama said don't eat their food at all. If it is from a non-Muslim neighbor and his life is based on something haram, but in their case though, there is exemption. The Prophet ﷺ ate the food of the Jews, for example, and of course, so there was no mention of whether these Jews, they got their, and we know what kind of income sometimes, especially the Jews in Medina, a lot of their income was from riba and so forth. So with respect to non-Muslims, it's a different case. With respect to Muslims, it is also a different case because, partially because of the kind of effect that you want to have on the other person. And that you're not even willing to eat his food. And this shows you, or this is a kind of demonstration to him of how wrong and how bad it is what he's doing.
I know I have to study the Quran and the Sunnah. So how do I start? Which recommended books do I start by? And also, what are the recommended books and audio tapes to learn about, to teach these things and Arabic?
Again, I don't know who's asking the question, and I won't ask this brother for an explanation. But, I mean, inshallah, if I were in this person's situation, I would try to find some good brothers, or if it is a sister, some good sisters, and in his area that can guide him on this matter. I mean, it is to talk in general, it is kind of difficult to say, but the brothers of knowledge, the brothers who have some knowledge inshallah in his area should be able to help him again. So that's what I would do. I'm not going to recommend necessarily any books, but if I were that brother, I would go to the leaders of his community, those people who are known to be good and learned, and let them inshallah guide him. As for a book, audio tapes to learn and teach Quranic Arabic, so I'll put a plug in here for our brother Bilal Phillips' book and tapes on reading Quran and Arabic grammar. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for him to finish that series, as they are very beneficial, inshallah.
Can you suggest ways of using our time in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because living in a non-Muslim country, there are so many distractions leading us away from Islam, for example, on the television, etc.
And there are many ways of using your time for this and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You could read Islamic works, you could read the Quran, you could read hadith and tafsir, you can even sit and just make dhikr and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and think about what these words of dhikr imply. And all of these are very beneficial. And if you engage in these things on a regular basis, inshallah you will have no need for the useless kind of distractions that you have around you, whether it's TV or anything of that nature. But this takes effort. Now it's much easier, takes much less energy, you know, just to flip on the TV and sit and not use your brain, so to speak. But so it takes effort on your part to make yourself use that time properly and get accustomed to using that time in the proper way. And for example, when you first start reading, let's suppose you decide that you want to spend some of that time instead of watching TV, reading. Well, reading, I assume, or it seems to me, just from people's behavior, it either takes more energy or it's not as entertaining, one or the other. So it's going to take some effort on your part to go from the TV to read on a regular basis. But you have to always have to keep in mind the goal, the overall benefit. And inshallah, when you do that, you will, inshallah, start spending your time on more beneficial things and remain away from those things that are not beneficial.
Alhamdulillah. We've just got time for one or two more questions. Probably one, inshallah. But I'd like to make a comment before we get that far, inshallah. There's been a lot of questions submitted, alhamdulillah. And you'll find that many of them I haven't presented for the Shaykh to answer. And the reason is that I think that most of them are probably appropriate for the sessions that are coming later, the panel sessions, because there's such a wide range of questions that are not really directly related to the topic of Muslim character, and they need probably discussion with the panel, inshallah. So the next question is, how should we behave towards our brothers who find excuses not to do the salat?
Not to do the salat. There's no excuse for not doing the salat. Unless maybe you're unconscious. That's an acceptable excuse. Unconscious, sleeping. But otherwise, there's no excuse. And even if you cannot make wudu, even if you cannot pray in the proper fashion, there's no excuse. You have to pray in the time, in any fashion, whatever fashion you have the ability to do so at that time. And in other words, if you can do it properly, you must do it properly. If you cannot do it properly, you must do it as much as properly as you can. So there's no excuse for not praying. And I think, going back to one aspect that I mentioned earlier, and I am convinced, strongly convinced, that the one who does not pray, knowingly does not pray, this person falls outside of the fold of Islam. And I think, and this point has to be stressed for many people, and inshallah, if they realize, now even if you don't go to that extent and make that conclusion, and we have to make people realize how important the salat is, and how dangerous it is for them to leave the salat. And actually, I think no one would leave the salat unless he is almost completely deficient in iman. In fact, from my point of view, he has to be completely deficient in iman. This is the only way that he would leave salat. And if he knows that salat, for example, is the first of his deeds that are going to be judged on the Day of Judgment, if he knows all the punishment for leaving the salat and so forth, he would not do it. So if you are dealing with something of that nature, you have to realize, someone of that nature, you have to realize that his problem is not just the salat. He has a much, much bigger problem. And so therefore, I would start by reminding him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to strengthen his iman. And inshallah, when that occurs, he will no longer leave the salat, inshallah.
How do we control anger? That is, can you give me practical steps, especially anger towards our own children? I think this is a very good question, anyway.
Now, yani the Prophet in different hadith has given us some points of how to control anger. I don't remember all of them, but for example, in one hadith, the Prophet has told us that when you are angry, and you should sit down, and that should control your anger. Because you notice that people, you know, if you're sitting around, when people get real upset, one of the first things they do is stand up. Because, and your energy can come out much more when you're standing. That's why when you give khutbah, well, I can't say that's why, but and when you give khutbah standing. Although sometimes it's hard to tell that the person is standing, but and you should give khutbah standing for all your energy to come out. That's much different from when you're sitting. And the Prophet ﷺ has shown us that in that hadith. And even if you're sitting, if that does not calm you down, then you should lie down. This is the Prophet ﷺ's guidance. So this is one of the steps. And if you are, for example, getting angry with your children, most likely it is while you're chasing them around the house and you're standing. So sit down first. Inshallah, that will calm you down a little bit. If not, then lie down.
Assalamu alaikum. There's a message here, actually, from a question to Mansoor Hussain. Your wife, Rashida, wants to see you at the registration. That's Mansoor Hussain. So the last question, I think, for today is this one here, inshallah. Do we wash our hands of the persons, that is, Muslims, who keep on breaking their promises and lie regularly?
And if, for sure, if someone keeps breaking his promises and is lying regularly, and he is having the characteristics of nifaq, and this is, you know, having the characteristics of nifaq is not something minor, and it can get to a point where, because of his actions, you avoid him because of his actions. But I think the better thing, especially in our situation here, the better thing is to try to continually advise them and try to show them the wrong of what they're doing. If you really feel that this is not having any effect, and by boycotting them or leaving them might have a better effect, then you resort to that. Allahu a'lam.
Jazakumullah khairan. So that brings us to the end of this session. I'm sure most of us have learned something. I know I have personally from that lovely talk, alhamdulillah. There's a couple of quick announcements I'd like to make while I've got you all here, inshallah. Brothers are politely requested to switch off their mobiles when they come into any talks. Please switch them off, inshallah. There's nothing more embarrassing than your mobile starts ringing when the sheikh is trying to say something. There's also an appeal here. A brother has lost his spectacles. If anyone finds them, can you hand them in to the registration point, please? Jazakum Allah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.